Amen. Amen. So let's go to Acts chapter 4. We'll start there tonight. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And this is after the lame man has been healed at the Gate Beautiful, and Peter and John were arrested because of that, and they were threatened by the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders to not do that anymore, to stop doing that. And so in verse 23, it says, "And being let go," they finally released them. It says, "They went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord." Everybody say, "They raised their voice to God with one accord." That's what we call united praying. They raised their voice to God with one accord. They were praying together. Praise God. "They raised their voice to God with one accord and said, 'Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus.'" Verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." Praise God. So it starts out, though, by saying this. It says that they raised their voice to God with one accord. They raised their voice to God with one accord. And then we get a summation of what they prayed. They were all praying, but the summary of what they prayed was written down by the Holy Spirit here, and or inspired by the Holy Spirit. Then Luke wrote it down. And this was the summary of what they prayed. First of all, they acknowledged the greatness of God. Amen? Yeah. They begin their prayer not by saying, "Oh God, what are we going to do? They're threatening us." They begin their prayer by saying, "Lord, you are God, and you made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They just establish it right away that the God they were praying to was greater than any enemy or any obstacle or any problem that they face. This was the God that that created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's in them. Amen. And so they talked about how big God was. And they talked about, they acknowledged the greatness of God. Second thing they did is they prayed the word of God. They said, "Who by the mouth of your servant David have said," and they begin to pray what we know is recorded as Psalm chapter 2. That's the second psalm. What they're doing is they're praying the word. They're praying what David wrote in Psalm 2. "Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things?" And they talked about that and they prayed that. So they prayed the word. And then the third thing they did was they mentioned the problem. They said, "Well, here's what happened. They've threatened us. Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel gathered together. They crucified Jesus, but we know, Lord, that they played right into your plan because you raised him from the dead. That was your plan all along. But now they're threatening us and they're telling us that we can't speak in that name anymore." And so they said, "Now, Lord, look on their threats." And so they acknowledged the problem or mentioned the problem. And then the fourth thing that they did was they asked for boldness. They said in verse 29, let's look at it again. "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." And then verse 30, "by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And so the fifth thing in their prayer, the fifth element of their prayer was they asked for the power of God to be manifested. "Lord, stretch out your hand to heal. Lord, let signs and wonders be done through the name of Jesus. And then as a result of their praying, the Bible says in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together, everybody say assembled together. So they weren't on a Zoom call. You know, thank God for Zoom calls are good for business, but Zoom calls aren't best for church. Amen. Now, if you know, it's better than nothing. And we had to do some Zoom calls in 2020 and early 2021. You know, what a difference a year makes. I was just thinking about a year ago today, which actually was the 6th, the first Wednesday, I was sick with COVID. Didn't know it was COVID yet, but I was sick. We were trying to have prayer meetings every night, and I was dragging myself here. I was weak and sick, and then the fiasco had just taken place at the Capitol that day, and it was so depressing. And then the runoff election had taken place here the night before, in which we a lot of us thought was a second stolen election. Election steal 2.0, and it just was such a depressing time. Amen. It's much better a year later. Amen. Glory to God. We made it through, though. We just persevered. We knew where our strength came from, and it was the Lord. And so we got through it. Amen. And a year later, we're in better shape. Glory to God. Amen. So much better a year later. Praise God. All right. So they prayed, and it says the place where they were assembled together, that's where we were at. It's just better when we assemble together. Amen. Where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Praise God. So when they prayed, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And there's one initial infilling of the Holy Spirit, right? Our baptism in the Holy Spirit, but there's many refillings. Amen. And a united prayer meeting, a corporate prayer meeting, is a good place to get a refilling. That's where they got their refilling, when they were meeting together praying with other people. Amen. That's why I like to get together and pray with others, because that's a good place. I've gotten many refillings that way. Amen. Praise God. So that's a good place to get a refilling. So they did. They got refilled. These people that were praying, most of them were probably there on the day of Pentecost and got filled with the Holy Spirit that day. But they got a refilling. Amen. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God with boldness, and the place where they were praying was shaken. Praise God. Dad Hagin said, you know, we get excited when people start shaking. You know, wait till the building starts shaking. Amen. Well, I believe we can see that. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know what our insurance company would say about it. What's that crack doing? Well, I believe when God shakes the building, there's no damage to it, though, right? Amen. Praise God. All right. So they prayed. Their prayer was, they said, Lord, look on their threats. Look again back at verse 29. Let's go back to 29, Dave. Thank you. Lord, look on their threats. All right. So I want to ask you a question. Do we have any threats today to the gospel, to the preaching of the word, and to the truth being proclaimed to our culture? Well, we do, don't we? We do. And we see it increasing. We see it more and more, the cancel culture. We see that if we proclaim the clear and obvious truths of God's word, that we're labeled, oh, that's hate speech. You can't say that. You can't do that. And so we have threats today. You know, people are banned from social media sites for proclaiming the truth and preaching even the truth of the gospel at times. And so, yes, we have threats today. So what should we do about those threats? Well, we should do what they did. We should pray. We should take it to God and say, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. Amen. That's what the world needs the church to be today, is bold. Amen. To boldly proclaim the truth, to boldly proclaim the gospel, to not apologize for it, to not water it down, but to boldly proclaim it. Amen. Praise God. And so they did that. They prayed, Lord, grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word and stretch out your hand to heal. And let's go to 30. Stretch out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of Jesus. We're going to pray for all of that tonight. Praise God. But let's look at another example. I'm going to show you three different examples of where united prayer, where the believers came together to pray. So here's another one in Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews to kill James and to harass the church, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread, so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover." And so the Jewish feast of unleavened bread, which is just a few days right before Passover, that was in process. So he says, well, after Passover, then I'll bring him out before the people. We'll have a trial or some sort of a trial, some show trial or whatever. But the point is this, Herod was no ideologue. Herod didn't have principles that he stood on. He didn't have a governing philosophy as far as being a principled king that he's going to do this or he's going to do. He was a total, everything that he did was according to political expediency. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews when he executed James, he said, and the Jews said, "Yeah, good job, Herod, you're doing a great job, you're a great king." When he saw that happen, then he says, "Okay, I'm going to go take it a little bit further here," and he arrests Peter and puts Peter in prison. So that's the way some political leaders are. They're not ideologues. They don't have anything they stand for. They just do what they think is going to be popular and what's going to keep them in power. And that's the way Herod was. He thought it was politically advantageous to him to harass the church, and so he was doing that. So verse 5, so he arrests Peter. And verse 5 says, "Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church." So Peter's in prison, but what's the church doing? The church is praying. And it says constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Now, we've taught about this in teaching on prayer that there are different rules that govern the different kinds of prayer, right? We talk about the prayer of faith, where Jesus taught in Mark 11, 22 through 24, Jesus taught the prayer of faith, and he says, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Well, that's a prayer that you just pray one time, right? Because if you believe you receive it, you don't continue to pray, right? You believe that you receive it, then he says you'll have it. And so that's about your needs. That's about your personal needs. That's about your personal situation. That's the prayer of faith. That's a prayer that you only pray one time. But there's different kinds of prayer. And some of the kinds of prayer, it's not that you pray at one time. It's you continue to pray. This is one of those kinds of prayers. Peter was needing deliverance, and the church was praying for him. So the Bible says that constant prayer was made for him by the church. The Douay Rheims, and I don't know if I'm even saying that right. I've never used this translation before, but it was one that was available to me in my Bible study software, so I thought I'd look at it, and I liked the way it read. So let's look at the Douay Rheims translation. It says, "Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing." New King James says constant prayer. The Douay Rheims says prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him. And so the church is praying without ceasing. They're continuing to pray for Peter. Well, what happens? Well, what is set in motion because they pray? Well, let's find out. In verse 6, "And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping." Well, think about that. Peter knows that he's already executed James with the sword, possibly beheading. So James has been killed and Peter's been arrested. And no doubt he's thinking that he's facing the same fate, right? And so the night before that he's going to be brought out, he's sleeping. So the prayer that was offered by the church, number one, it caused the peace of God to come on Peter. Amen? That's pretty good, isn't it? Amen. Peter's there sleeping. Amen. And it took an angel smoting him in the side, smiting him in the side to wake him up. Look at what happens here. He's sleeping, chained between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Verse 7, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. How'd that happen? Supernaturally. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Peter didn't even think it was real. He thought, wow, what a cool vision I'm having here. And so he says, the angel says, follow me. It says, when they were past the first and the second guard post, how'd that happen? How were they able to go through the first and second guard posts? Supernaturally. Amen. This is the, and then we read, it says, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. This is the first instance of an automatic door. You think it's something when you go in Walmart and the door opens for you. Well, this happened long before that. Long before that automatic doors were invented, Peter is walking along with the angel. There's a gate there. And when they get up close enough to the gate, the sensors in the gate sense Peter and the angel. And it's something that gate only senses angels. Because when Peter tried to go through it before, it didn't work. But because that angel was there, it opened. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. It opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Verse 11, and when Peter had come to himself, he finally is awake enough, you know, and he says, oh, wait a minute. He pinches himself and he says, hey, this is real. I'm not having a dream. I'm not having a vision. This is real. I'm really free. I'm really out of the prison. Hallelujah. And he says, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. What was the expectation of the Jewish people? Peter's going to die. But God delivered him. Verse 12. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Notice this now. Where many were gathered together praying. Amen. Hallelujah. No doubt their prayers was what sprung Peter from prison. No doubt it was their prayers that caused that angel to be sent to deliver Peter and to bring him out of that prison. Amen. It says many were gathered together praying. There's power in united prayer. There's power when we come together to pray. Amen. There's a power that we can't tap into on our own, but we can reach when we come together. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's important that we have our own prayer life. It's important that we pray ourselves individually. Certainly, that's necessary and that's important. But united prayer is just as important, if not more so. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So we're going to do that tonight. Amen. All right. It says, many people were gathered together praying. Let's look at one more example, and then we're going to do some praying. Hallelujah. Acts 13 and verse 1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. All right, so notice this. It says in verse 1, it says there's prophets and teachers, and it names them. Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul, so five of them. So they're gathered together, and it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Well, what is ministering to the Lord? Ministering to the Lord means they were gathered together, they were praying, they were waiting on God, they were worshiping God, and they were gathered together doing it. Amen? That was united prayer. And as they did that, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, then the Holy Spirit said. So when we gather together to pray, that's an atmosphere in which the Holy Spirit can speak. Amen. And the Holy Spirit said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then, verse 3 says, then having fasted and prayed, so they pray again, they pray some more, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. And when they sent them away, Barnabas and Saul, who later became renamed as Paul, when they sent them away, that was what we know as, and what Bible scholars call, and what you have in the back of your Bible. Do you have maps in the back? All right. Do you believe your Bible from index to maps? Somebody said, I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. As well, let's believe it from index to maps. So you'll have a map in your Bible. It's probably one of the last maps in your Bible, if not the last. In my Bible, it's the last map. And on that map, it says Paul's missionary journeys. Anybody have that in their Bible? Or has anybody ever seen that in your Bible before? Nobody's ever paid attention to the maps in your Bible. So shame on you. I'm busy reading the scriptures, Pastor. I don't read the maps. Okay, well, that's probably best. But does anybody know what I'm talking about? Do you see that? You have that in your, raise your hand if you got that in your Bible. Paul's missionary journeys. Here it is in my Bible, all right? And so what was happening, if you notice, I've got four in there. A black line, a black arrow, a purple dotted arrow, a red arrow, and a green arrow. Anybody got that? Anyway, that black arrow is Paul's first missionary journey. And that's when it started, was when they left from Antioch there. When they left that prayer meeting, that prayer gathering, and went out, that was the beginning of Paul's first missionary journey. And I want you to think about the dramatic impact of their ministry. The miracles that took place that we read about in Acts 14 and in Lystra and other places, Acts chapter 16 and the great things that happened, the multitudes that got saved, the churches that were started, and then the letters that were written to those churches that were started that we have now that are what we call the epistles or the letters to the churches that make up 2/3 of the New Testament. All of that was birthed out of a united prayer meeting. Think about it. All of that was birthed because those five men came together to pray. And as they were ministering to the Lord, as they were praying, as they were seeking God, as they were fasting, the Holy Spirit said, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. And then they fast and pray, and they send them forth. And so sent forth by those prayers and birthed out of those prayers was the great ministry of the greatest apostle of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, who the Lord used to lay the foundation for our faith today. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All that came out of a time of united prayer. That's my point. Praise God. So are you ready to pray tonight? Amen? Well, I've got some items for us to pray. I want us to pray about the nation. The Bible tells us that first of all, we're to pray for kings and for those who are in authority. So we're going to do that. We're going to take a few minutes and do that. And then the second thing I want us to pray about is something that that connects with what we were teaching on at the end of the year. We were teaching on the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Remember that? And remember that I gave you a little prayer to keep in your Bible and to pray. Has anybody been praying it? All right. Praise God. All right. And so we're going to pray about the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And this is something that I really believe God wants us to focus on and to really, really pray in 2022. Amen. And then I want us to pray. We're going to pray over our families. And then we're just going to spend some time praying in the Spirit. Praise God. Are you ready?
Yes.
Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we come to you and you lift your voice and you enter in. Don't just listen to me pray, but you enter in as well. Hallelujah. Father, we just lift our voices up to you with one accord tonight in the name of Jesus. And we thank you tonight, Father. We thank you that your eyes are upon us. And we thank you, Father, that your ears are open to our prayer. And Father, we thank you that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and that we can obtain mercy and that we can find grace to help in the time of need. We thank you, Father, that we can come into your presence and that you hear us and that you answer us. We come in faith tonight, Father. We come believing tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we do pray for those in authority over us right now in the name of Jesus. We pray for our president. We pray for our vice president. We pray for his administration, Father. We pray for all those in the Biden administration. We pray, Father God, for our senators and our representatives. We pray, Father, for our Supreme Court justices. We pray, Father, for our state and local officials tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus, we lift up all those who are in positions of authority. And we pray, Father, that you would give them your divine wisdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Father, that a supply of your Spirit and a supply of your wisdom would come to them in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Father, that you would move on their hearts. And we pray, Father, that you would influence their decisions in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, that any evil schemes or any evil plans, Lord, by those who are occupying positions of influence and authority in our nation or in our state or in our city and county, any evil plans, Father, that they would be thwarted, that they would come to nothing, that they would be restrained in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we also know that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. So, Father, we take authority over those demonic forces that would try to bring deception, that would try to bring bondage in our nation in the name of Jesus. And we say, Satan, take your hands off of our nation in the name of Jesus. Take your hands off of our president. In the name of Jesus, take your hands off of our leaders. Take your hands off of our government. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you as you told us to pray for those in authority. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't do it just as for us to have a religious exercise. But we believe, Lord, that our prayers are changing things. And we stand on your word, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, your word says in Psalm 125 and verse 3 that the scepter of wickedness shall not rest and shall not remain on the land allotted to the righteous. And we declare that tonight, Father. We believe, Lord, that this land, this nation, the United States of America, that you raised it up, Lord, for a holy purpose. And we pray that our nation would fulfill that purpose, that our nation would fulfill its divine destiny. And we take authority over every demonic spirit, every demonic plot and scheme that would try to thwart that purpose, that would try to stop our nation from fulfilling that purpose. And we command you, Satan, to be thwarted right now and to be stopped right now in the name of Jesus. Take your hands off of our nation. We say that your plans, Satan, your schemes, they come to nothing. They come to nothing in the name of Jesus. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over our nation. And we pray, Lord, for an awakening in our nation. And we believe that we're seeing it already, Father. We believe for an awakening, Lord. An awakening to truth and righteousness. And Father, we believe as you spoke to us last week, Father, we believe that righteousness is rising in this nation. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for that, Father. We thank you. We believe that, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for healing our land. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your will and your plan and your purpose being done in our nation. Hallelujah. Just pray in the Spirit along with me. Follow along with me and just lift your voice and just begin to pray in the Spirit as we pray out the will of God. Father, we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your will. We thank you for your purpose. We thank you for your plan being done in our nation. In the name of Jesus, we say your kingdom come and your will be done on the earth that is the United States of America, as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for that. And Lord, we know that it's your will, Lord, that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And we pray for that, Lord. You said that that's why we're to pray for those in authority. You said, Lord, that when we pray for those in authority, it would facilitate your ultimate goal of people being saved and coming to the knowledge of the truth, that there's one God and there's one mediator between God and men, and that's the man, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, that America would fulfill. Lord, we don't pray for America just for America's sake, but we pray that America would be used by you, Father, that our nation would be used by you so that other nations, so that people around the world could hear the gospel. Lord, we know that the gospel has been published around the world more so from this nation than from any other nation. And we pray that our nation might remain free so that the gospel can be proclaimed freely in this nation and from this nation. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, for a great harvest of souls within our own nation. Lord, of multitudes coming to Jesus, of multitudes saying yes to Jesus, receiving eternal life, receiving salvation. We pray for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, for those right here in our own city and in Forsyth County that don't know you. We pray that they would come to know you. We pray, Father, that you would draw them by your Holy Spirit, that their hearts would be opened and that they would say yes to you, that they would receive your great love for them, that they would receive salvation in the name of Jesus. We pray for that, Father. We thank you for that. And Lord Jesus, you told your disciples to pray in Matthew chapter 9, and it's a prayer that we should pray today. You said, pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send laborers into his harvest. And so we pray for that, Father. We pray that there would be a great sending forth of laborers during this day, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your divine call upon men and women, upon young men and young women. Lord, we pray that they would answer that call, that it would be in them a burning desire, Father God, a burning desire to proclaim your word, a burning desire, Lord, to win souls and to bring others to you. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that many would answer that call, that many would step into that call. We pray for laborers to be raised up in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that from throughout the body of Christ, Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it, Lord. Send laborers into your harvest, Father. Send laborers into your harvest field. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that tonight. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And Father, we pray for righteous people, righteous men and women to be in positions of authority in our government, in our federal government, in our state government, and in our local government, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we stand on your word tonight in Jesus' name. From Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 21 and 22. Lord, your word says, for the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. So, Father, we pray that in Jesus' name, that the upright will dwell in this land of America, this land that's been allotted to the righteous. And we pray and believe that the blameless will remain in it, But your word also says, but the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. So, Father, we thank you for that. We pray that concerning our leaders, we pray that concerning our government officials, again, on the federal level, on the state level, and on the local level, we pray for righteous and godly leaders across our nation and throughout our government in the name of Jesus. And we pray that the wicked are cut off and the unfaithful are rooted out of government positions in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you that righteousness is rising in our nation in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.